Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using pretty much forever, I think. The Lord be with you. Thank you. One reason I appreciate that little greeting is it reminds us that the Lord is with us no matter what's going on in our lives, right? He meets us right here, right where we live. And I know that some of us are walking in just excited for the day. Maybe this past week has been rough. Maybe the week ahead looks challenging. Maybe it's your birthday this Wednesday, and like it is for Missy. So are we singing to Missy? Is that what we're going to do real quick? Can we just, before we officially begin, can we just sing a quick happy birthday? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Missy. Happy birthday to you. All right.
Thank you.
So maybe it's your birthday. Maybe it's a good day. Maybe it's a rough day, but God meets us right here. I would love for us to pray as we begin. God, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for gathering us together, most of us in the room, some of us online, just to connect with you, God. And that's our prayer, that you would use everything we do during this service, the songs, the prayers, the scriptures, the table, everything, God, to connect our hearts to your heart. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for loving us and showing us that love in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Thank you again for the birthday wishes. I don't usually celebrate a lot of holidays or even my birthday, so this is very surprising, and I feel very loved. Thank you. Oh. See, I'm all flustered. Okay. And too loud. Okay.
But it couldn't fail me. A man's empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied. There's nothing. Oh, there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Yeah, give that drummer some love. If I wasn't playing guitar, I'd be clapping along with you guys in that part.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And almighty fortress, you go before. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet,
sing this last week, we're singing it this week. Who knows, maybe we'll sing it tomorrow or next week too. And thank you all for who prayed for me and my ankle. It does feel a little bit better.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. Your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. And your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, and your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you. Shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we are so thankful for your gracious face turned towards us. Lord, for the way that you have been through us from generations before us, and you'll be with us in the generations to come, while you're also in the generation now and here in this place and in this moment. Lord, when we stop and think of the wondrousness of that, it's overwhelming to try and even comprehend how big and how great and how awesome and how holy and how intimate you are with us and for us. We're so thankful for that today. We're thankful because, honestly, Lord, there's some things that we need a great big God to be working out for us, things that we may see that are bigger than we can handle, bigger than we can manage, maybe even bigger than we can imagine, and yet you are so much greater and so much bigger, and your blessings continue to pour out on us day after day, moment after moment. God, how can we ever really thank you enough for this truth and for this fact? This morning in our worship, Lord, we're going to try to express that to you. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here with my friends and church family, Lord, with people that you have brought here this morning. You've gathered us together, and Lord, I have no doubt that you have a message for us. I have no doubt that you are going to speak through Pastor Rich this morning in the word that you've given him, and I can't wait. I'm anticipating hearing what it is you have to say to me and to us. So be with us as we continue to worship you through the word and through the table, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity and for inviting us here this morning. For all of these things, Lord, and so much more, we want to offer you our richest praise and blessing and glory and honor to you, Lord, as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Oh, man. Well, my apologies. We are trying to fix the air conditioning right now. I promise I'm not preaching on hell. We're not trying to sweat you out or anything like that. We did not discover until the service started, like, that thermostat back there is just not working. So they're putting a battery in it now and hoping it comes to life. We'll see. So until then, we're just pushing the hot air around with the fans. We'll see what happens. Some's better than none, that's right. Oh, man. Let me say real quick, hello again to those of you who are watching us online. My name's Rich Schmidt, one of the pastors here, and hello again to all of you. Any of us, if there's some way we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, if you have a question for us, if you're wondering why all that stuff is in the back, I'll explain that in a minute, but any other question, you can either use the link on the screen, or you can grab one of those little green Connect cards back there, jot your note on it, and drop it in the offering box, and then that way we can follow up with you this week, or we can pray for you this week, or whatever might be going on in your life, because I know we got stuff going on in our lives. So, if you're giving today, you can drop that in the box as well. You can give online. All of that works. And let's see, before we dive into the message, a couple of quick announcements. I hope you got one of these on your way in. On the back there, you'll see it mentions construction is underway. We don't normally have refrigerators and stoves and cabinets in the back of the room like this. The kitchen is totally empty because tomorrow they're supposed to be redoing the floor in there. And both of the kitchen and the expanded kitchen, that storage room that is turning into part of the kitchen, so that we can be a better commissary kitchen for the Fresh Starts food truck. And once that's all done, then the food truck can finally open. So I think we're like a couple weeks out to everything being done. And so maybe next Sunday there'll still be some stuff in the back, maybe not. Some of you who like to sit in the back, I know you're right now there's a stove where you usually sit. So we apologize for that, but thank you for being gracious as we get this work done. We're going to end up with a much better kitchen, especially for the food truck and all the stuff that they need. These next three Saturdays, there's something going on here at your church. This next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 13th, is this Church Hurt Conference. There's a flyer out there. It's mentioned on the back here from 9 to 3. Maybe you've been hurt by church in the past. Maybe that's why you're here, because this is kind of a safer place to kind of make your way back to Christian faith. Maybe you have friends who have promised they'll never set foot in a church again because of what some pastor said or did or something like that. This Saturday, the group Healing with Human Connection is doing this Church Hurt event for folks like that, maybe for some of you. So if you'd like to come, it's free. If you have a friend you'd like to invite, please do. You can scan that little thing, or you can find the church Facebook page, and the link is there to register. And they said there's still room for you if that's something you want to do. We don't have it on the back, but that next Saturday, the 20th, is the next free meal that the group Yahweh Army does here. It's a free meal at 12:30, plus worship, plus some testimony. And so if you know somebody that could use a free meal or some encouragement, you can invite them on the 20th. And then, what'd you say? Oh, Courtney's giving a testimony. Oh, very cool. So you're going to hear Courtney's testimony. That'll be Saturday the 20th. And then the 27th is the next time they're giving away bikes. Yesterday, they gave away just kids' bikes, 9 to noon. On the 27th, it's all-size bikes. As long as they have all sizes of bikes to give away. If you have an old bike you're not using and you want to donate it, just bring it on by, and they'll be happy to take it. Or if you want to donate it ahead of time, you can do that too, and we'll just meet up with you, find a time for you to leave it here, and we'll lock it up, and they can run with it. So I think that's it by way of announcements that I need to share. When is the birthday cake going to get cut and available for people to eat? Oh, okay, all right. There's cake back there for Missy. So if while I'm talking, are you guys going to turn off all the breakers while we're in the middle of the service? Please don't do that, Tim. You're like, oh, it's not those. They're trying to find the breakers that go to the air conditioning. I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe with the construction, something got bumped that shouldn't have. Oh, well. All right. Yeah, what's up? Oh. Yeah. Debbie was just asking how Chris is doing. She's doing okay. Hopefully she'll be able to make it to the second service today. She's gradually recovering. But keep praying. Yeah, keep praying for Chris. Those strokes really have wiped her out. She's just tired a lot. So. Oh, okay. All right. Very cool. What's up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they had, when you go skating, with a maxi dress on.
Oh.
They had me rolling on the ground.
All right. Let's share that story another time, okay, Diane? All right. But yeah, there are a lot of people who've had bad experiences with the church. What's up, Sonia? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll get them to her. No problem. There's a card going around for Missy if you haven't signed it yet. Okay. All right, let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll dive into this morning's message. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to gather together to listen for your voice speaking through the scriptures. It's amazing that for thousands of years, your people have listened to these words and have heard not just the testimony of ancient followers of yours, but have heard you speaking directly to them. And God, that's what we want today. We want to hear your spirit speaking to us. So help us have hearts open to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, when I decided to start this little three-week series that we're in the middle of on blessings that God gives, I knew that one of the Sundays was going to be about this blessing, the one that we just sang earlier. It's from, and it falls in the Bible, not in the kind of places you expect it. I know when I think of blessings, when I think of, you know, like God being generous and good, and I think about where in the Bible do I look for that stuff? Maybe I'll look in the Psalms. You know, there's lots of good stuff in the Psalms. Or maybe I look in the New Testament, you know, where Jesus shows up and we're blessed in so many ways and the Spirit's poured out and all of this. I never would have expected to find a blessing like this in the book of Numbers. If you've ever tried reading through the Bible, like cover to cover, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you might bog down in Leviticus or like the second half of Exodus. That's where they start getting all the laws and all that kind of stuff. But if you power through all of that, Numbers is the one, it's like the Bible reading plan killer, you know. And it's called Numbers, and we all just love numbers, right? There are sections, I was reading around this blessing, and I was like, well, let's see what the context is for it. And I was like, oh. It's like, and here's what all these different tribes brought as an offering for the tabernacle when it opened. This leader from this tribe brought all these, this many cattle and this many sheep and this many silver plates. And like, and then it does that for 12 different tribes. It's like, okay, all right. They liked counting stuff, I guess. Right in the middle of this book, well, actually, kind of in the early part of this book, at the end of Numbers chapter 6, we find these instructions. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Sometimes this is called the Aaronic blessing, Aaronic for Aaron and his son. Sometimes it's called the priestly blessing because Aaron was the leader of the priests and his sons were the priests that were going to lead the people as they worshiped at the tabernacle, this mobile temple where they would offer sacrifices and all the rest, meet with God. And so this is, there were times of year where the priests would stand before the people and bless them in this way. We talked last week about how these blessings are not just, like when we say happy birthday, like hope you have a happy birthday, that kind of thing. It's just like, we're hoping you have a happy birthday, but we can't really do anything about that other than maybe give you this card or some cake or, you know, something like that. But we don't really have the ability to make their day happy. But when God blesses us, he's got the authority and the ability to actually bless us, to actually make our lives good. Even when times are tough, God blesses us in the middle of those difficulties, and we find ourselves feeling blessed, feeling loved, feeling cared for by our Heavenly Father in the midst of trial. And we'll see in just a minute some of the different ways that this blessing shows up in our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I'm just going to walk through that, all right? And look at some of the different places this shows up in Scripture and where it connects with our lives. Bless you and keep you. There's two different ideas. And the keep you thing is kind of weird, if you ask me. It's like, oh, he's going to keep us, like in a little keepsake box or something. I don't know. The word keep in that sense, it means protect. Some English translations just say bless you and protect you. You know, to keep you safe, to keep you in the palm of his hand, to keep his eye on you, to watch over you. He's saying God is going to bless you and he's going to protect you. This is what God's going to do in your life as you trust in him. And I did look to the Psalms. Someone this last Wednesday night mentioned Psalm 46, or verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. He keeps us. He protects us. He preserves us. He's our refuge and strength. And when trouble comes, God is there as our refuge, as the one who gives us strength. But more than that, when I thought about those two ideas of God blessing us and protecting us, I thought of a psalm that you're probably familiar with, Psalm 23, right? This picture of God being this good shepherd who leads us through life. And it starts out saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Right? He's blessed me. He's provided me with all that I need. Maybe you grew up like I did with an older translation that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, which is like, that kind of throws us for a loop. It's like, well, I want all kinds of things. I need stuff, you know. But that's like an old Englishy way of saying, I don't have what I need. Like, I want, or I'm in want. It's a way of saying that I don't have everything I need yet. And this psalm is saying, look, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need because he has provided it. It goes on, I don't have all of it in here. It goes on to talk about him leading us through green pastures beside still waters, restoring, refreshing our souls. And that's what God does. He provides us. If we're sheep in this story, right, going into a green pasture is like, oh, I got lots of food around me, right? I just think of like relaxing in a field by a stream, you know. But either way, it's God providing what we need and keeping us and protecting us. Because then it continues, says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, right, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. He's saying, God is with me when I go through difficulty. This blessing, this promise that God will bless us and keep us doesn't mean we won't experience difficulty. I think it was just a couple weeks ago we were looking at Jesus praying for his disciples, not that God would remove them from the world, but that he'd protect them from the evil one in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of a difficult world where we find ourselves with enemies. Jesus prays, God, would you protect them there? And that's what God does. He walks with us. Some of you have walked through some pretty dark valleys in the last year, in the last week. Some of you have been going through some pretty difficult times. And I know from talking with you that some of you, at least, have really felt a sense of God's comforting presence with you in those valleys, in those dark times. These promises of Scripture are true. God really does bless us and keep us. He really does walk with us through the dark valleys, protecting us, comforting us. As Psalm 23 continues, it says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Still got enemies, still got a rough time, but God, you are providing for my every need, even while I'm in the midst of the struggle. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. This is God providing what we need and then some. It's like an abundance of God's love, an abundance of his presence, an abundance of his strength as he blesses us and keeps us. This is a promise that we need. This is a blessing that we need to receive and we need to live by, especially when we go through difficult times. Because you know, right? You hit a roadblock, you think you're doing what God wants you to do, and all of a sudden there's a roadblock, all of a sudden there's a difficulty, all of a sudden the AC doesn't work, and you're like, God, why? Why do I have to sweat through this service? Please make him stop talking so we can get back to the air conditioning in the lobby or whatever. We hit these things, and it can make us struggle, it can make us question, sometimes even make us want to turn away. But God is with us. He blesses us and keeps us, protects us, makes sure that we don't go under. He keeps our heads above the water. He is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And then from there, the blessing talks about God's face, which I think is interesting. I don't think about God's face very often. Maybe God's presence or God's grace or his spirit giving me the strength to do what I need to do, but God's face. It's picturing God, in a way that, I don't know, I guess I just don't think about it that much. And especially the whole make his face shine on you. I feel like my face might be getting shiny today in a way I don't want it to be. But this idea that God, we see in numerous times in Scripture where people encounter God, which is not an ordinary everyday experience, right? But when they encounter God in like some kind of a visible way, it's like looking into the sun. It's basically how they describe it. Like the glory of God is blinding. It's like his glory shines. It's the only way they could think of to like describe what it's like to be in the presence of God. You just can't do it. You just can't see God because his glory is blinding. And so he's saying, may God make his face, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. One of the Psalms, Psalm verse 4 says, there are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. This isn't the only place in Scripture that uses this image. Psalm 80. Actually, Psalm 80 is a great one. You might want to read that one later. Psalm 80 uses this phrase repeatedly. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Or that we might be rescued. Or we might be restored. And it talks through some of the difficulties they're facing as a people. And then comes back to this chorus. Restore us, O God. Restore us, Lord God. I think it says the second time. The third time is like, restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. It's like we need you to be looking our way. We need you to be gracious to us. When I was studying and preparing for this, I was like, what does that mean exactly for God's face to shine on you? It was being pointed out to me repeatedly by numerous people that like the way that Hebrew scripture works, especially Hebrew poetry, is they often like will do things in parallel. And so when you see make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, it's like, oh, that and be gracious isn't like an additional thing. That's a description of when God makes his face shine on you, he's being gracious to you. That's two ways of saying the same thing. Just like the next one, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Two ways of saying the same thing. So the Lord make his face shine on you is an example of God being gracious, not treating us as our sins deserve, as the Bible says, but being good to us in ways that we don't deserve. When God lets his face shine on us, it's a way of saying, okay, God, we need your help. We need you to show up. We need your face to shine on us. We need to see your presence, your glory here at work in our daily life, especially when we're going through those dark valleys, right? We need your light to shine into our darkness, God. We need to know that you're looking our way, that we haven't escaped your attention. Well, I guess that really gets into that next phrase. I'll go ahead and look at that next one. Turn his face towards you and give you peace. What I was noticing as I was reading around the other scriptures was that there's a lot of the opposite of that is mentioned in scripture, like God hiding his face. Especially as a way of describing like when God's people went through difficulty as a result of their own sin. God said, I'll hide my face from you and your enemies will conquer you. You'll go into exile. All these things will happen. It's like this idea that if God is looking your way, his face is shining. He's giving you grace and peace. He's with you. He's restoring you. But if God hides his face, it's almost like... it's like his people are crying out in need, and instead of saying, okay, I love you, I care about you, I'm here for you, instead God's saying, nope, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you got to suffer some consequences for your actions. Finally, I've been gracious, I've been good, I've been caring for you, even though you've been abandoning me, even though you've been worshiping other gods, even though you've not been trusting me, not been living the way I've called you to live, even though you've been hurting each other and tearing each other down instead of building each other up like I've instructed you to, like I created you to. I said, finally, you got to suffer some consequences or you're never going to learn. Through the prophet Ezekiel, which Pastor Judy just quoted from like two chapters before this, was the vision of the dry bones and how God breathes his spirit into these dry bones and pulls them together back into bodies and gives them life as a picture for how God's going to give life to the nation of Israel once again. A couple chapters later, he says, then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them. He's like, I'm going to quit hiding my face. I'm going to look their way. I'm going to turn my face toward them. I'll no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. It's another promise of his presence, of his power, of his life-giving spirit presence with us. He says he's going to turn his face toward his people once again. In 2 Chronicles, another Old Testament passage dealing with the people of Israel, says, if you return to the Lord, then your fellow Israelites and your children will be shown compassion by their captors. So again, they're in exile. They've been captured. So they'll be shown compassion by their captors and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. So this blessing of God, you know, turning his face toward us, of no longer hiding his face from us, this speaks to the fact that this is a relationship here. This isn't just some automatic, you know, some priest is going to pronounce some magic words and your life's just going to magically get better, right? This is the priest blessing the people and saying the Lord cares about you. He's watching you. He's turned his face toward you. He's going to give you grace and peace. But it's a relationship where, like, you need to be then trusting him and you need to be following him and you need to return to him. You've been absent from him, and he's calling you back to himself. And when you come back, he will be gracious. He will be compassionate. He's just waiting to forgive. I love the way in the New Testament, in one place, in one of his letters, the Apostle Paul says that the reason he's out there telling everybody about Jesus is because he's trying to let them know, look, God's not holding your people's sins against them anymore. He's not out there saying, oh, you did wrong. You're going to have to be punished. He's like, no. Because of Jesus now, he's not holding your sins against you. He's ready to forgive. He's just trying to help them understand what these scriptures were saying to the people of Israel, that the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He doesn't want to turn his face from us. He wants to turn his face toward us and give us peace. I am curious. I mentioned this last week. What you picture. I'm curious what you picture when you picture God. When you picture God looking your way. Like, imagine for just a second that the God of the universe, who is watching over all things, who's making the stars shine and the planets spin and watching over the birds of the air and the creatures of the sea and the creatures on the land and making sure it gives life to all that is, the God who has billions of human beings on the planet to care about. Imagine for just a second that the God of the universe is turning his face toward you. Maybe not right this second. Maybe you're on the way home, you're imagining that God is turning his face toward you, or maybe right now. Maybe even you just need to close your eyes for a second and just imagine, what if God looked at me and turned his attention toward me? I'm curious what expression you picture on God's face. Do you picture that God is angry with you, disappointed with you, maybe emotionless, cold toward you? What do you picture God when he turns his face toward you? The Bible tells us that if we want to know what God is like, that we look to Jesus. That if we want to know what the God of the universe, our Heavenly Father, Jesus said in one place, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Numerous places say that he's the image of the invisible God, that he's the one that shows us what God is like. And so, get too hot for her? Sorry. That Jesus is the one that shows us what God is like. And so, what would it maybe picture Jesus looking your way? Do you think Jesus would be angry with you? Or do you think Jesus would be compassionate? I'll say, reading the stories about Jesus in the Bible, if you're worried that he might be angry with you because you've messed up, because you're feeling like a dirty, rotten sinner right now, you're exactly the kind of person that Jesus, like, showed compassion toward. You're the kind of person that was drawn to Jesus. I'm guessing Jesus didn't look at people who'd failed, people who'd messed up, in a judgmental or condescending or angry kind of way, or they wouldn't have wanted to be around him. Instead, he was constantly surrounded by people that the religious types were saying, why do you hang out with these sinners? Why do you hang out with this riffraff? Why do you hang out with these people who are disobeying God? And Jesus was like, look, sick people need a doctor. You know, I'm bringing them help. I'm bringing them healing. They're coming to me for the grace that they need. Evidently, he was not, the face of Jesus was not an angry one when turned toward a person in need. I guess maybe if you're a religious snob, maybe he would have some harsh words for you. He called them hypocrites, called them venomous snakes, called them all kinds of names. People who are pushing other people away from God. People who are looking down their noses at others. But if we know what God is like by looking at Jesus, I think it's true what Scripture says, that he's gracious and compassionate. That the face of God looking toward us is going to be one of compassion, of care. Even, I believe, when we find ourselves throwing a fit at God. Now that I've got these twin 10-year-old boys, my picture of God's fatherhood toward us and what it must be like for him, it continues to shift and evolve as I think about the times that they mess up. And I honestly do get angry, right? And I think, what face are they seeing on me when I'm facing them? Ooh. Oh, man. There's a little conviction there, you know. And I need to change my face. You know? I've been trying to let them know that even when I'm frustrated, even when I'm angry, you're my boy, I love you, and nothing's ever going to change that. And I think, what must God... You know, whatever he feels toward us in that moment, if maybe we've messed up, maybe we're throwing a temper tantrum, maybe we're angry, we're shaking our fist at God, plenty of that in the Bible, okay? God calls that okay. In fact, plenty of that in the Psalms, crying out to God, how long, God? How long are you going to keep your face turned away from us? How long are you going to, right? No matter what we're doing, when God looks our way, I just can't help but think his expression is one of compassion and care. And I want you to see that when you imagine your Heavenly Father looking your way, his face shining on you. There's not a dark cloud. It's not his face downcast. It's not his face, but it's his face turned toward you, his face shining on you. Some older translations say, may he lift his countenance upon you, which is just a fancy way of saying, you know, pick up his face looking your way, you know. When God turns his face toward you, he's gracious, compassionate, wants to give you peace. That gracious and compassionate connects right with the very last thing. After the blessing, God says to Moses, he says, these priests will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Which that's kind of weird because our English translations don't put God's name in there. They all say the Lord. Instead, and I went ahead and I made sure that I put the little like small caps thing on the Lord. You know how they put the Lord with like all capital letters. It's like that in a lot of our English translations. The original Hebrew language behind it was saying Yahweh, was saying the name of God, the name that God revealed to Moses to then share with the people of Israel. And when he's saying like, well, who am I supposed to tell them sent me to go talk to Pharaoh and rescue them from slavery in Egypt and lead them into the promised land. What God is this? And the name he gave was, well, I'm Yahweh. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, your ancestors, the God that you knew and now have and since had forgotten. But that's every time you see the Lord in your Bibles in the all capital letters, that's the name of God there. And so back in Numbers chapter 6 where it says, the Lord bless you, that's the name of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So he's saying, they'll put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. When God revealed his name to Moses, I put that there in your notes in Exodus chapter 34. When God's on the mountain with Moses, giving him the law, the commandments of how to try to rehumanize these people after they've been dehumanized by slavery in Egypt, as he reveals himself It says, the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is how God describes himself. As he's introducing himself to Moses and to the people, he says, I'm the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. And many other English translations there say, to a thousand generations. We're pretty sure that's what it means here, which is why in that song that we sang, it was talking about, you know, I don't remember if that's a line in the song, a thousand generations, and to your children, to their children, to their children, you know. It's a reference to this, that God's going to bless you and your kids and their kids and just to a thousand generations. He's maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Those who don't come to him for forgiveness, for grace, okay, he punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Which again, as I've studied this and read, it's not saying that like God unfairly punishes the kids for their grandparents', you know, sins. It's saying that what we do matters. And if we take our family in a direction that is away from God, well, that has an impact on them. And then that has an impact on their kids. And until finally somebody turns back to God and who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, you know, ready to forgive, then they continue down this deadly trajectory. Some of you know that all too well from your own family histories, from the direction that your parents set, or maybe their parents set. And it took God working in extraordinary ways to get you off of that road, to get you to a place where you were willing to turn to God and see that, you know what, maybe God's not angry with me. Maybe there really is a God who cares. Maybe he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Maybe he really does want to forgive wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Maybe when God looks my way, his desire is to bless me and protect me, to be gracious, to give me peace. That's what this blessing tells us, that this is what God wants for you. Not just someday after you die and you go off to heaven somewhere or something like that. This is what God wants for you here and now, to experience his presence, his grace, his peace. And that is possible. Even in the midst of difficulty, God protects us and blesses us. It doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we ever want. We're going to pray in just a minute that prayer Jesus taught us, which includes that line, give us this day our daily bread. It might just be that we just have daily bread. Each day, God continues to provide what we need for that day. But he'll continue to provide it. He'll continue to be present with us. He'll continue to protect us and to bless us. We might not all get a sports car or a private jet, you know. But God will be with us, blessing us, protecting us, being gracious, being compassionate, giving us peace. And the beautiful thing, since we're talking about generations and the impact we have on others, the beautiful thing is, like we talked about last week, that blessing doesn't stop with us. God blesses you in order to be a blessing to others. And as you receive these blessings from God, as you receive his grace and his mercy, as you allow him to change your life from the inside out, he's placed you in families, neighborhoods, workplaces, schools. Well, school's out for summer. Anyway, he's placed you in the places where you are so that this grace and this goodness, this compassion, this love can not just change you, but change the people around you. If you're a parent with kids, can change your kids' trajectory, the direction their life is facing. If you've got other family, if you've got neighbors, you know, if you've got friends. One of you was just talking to me this morning about letters that you write to family and friends and trying to encourage them and help them to know the love of God and the grace of God. This blessing of God spills out. Our cups overflow with blessings to bless the people around us. I want to pray for us right now. Before we celebrate communion together, I want to pray for us. If you'd bow your heads with me. Again, I would invite you to maybe just to picture, I don't know, God looking your way, if you can. I don't know what God looks like for you. Morgan Freeman, or I don't know what God looks like for you, but But I want you to see the face of God turned your way and to see an expression of compassion, of care, of love. God, would you bless us with that awareness of your love, of the way that you see us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus so that we could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we have messed up, when we have failed at this thing called life, these lives you've given us, that you're not looking for a chance to condemn us, but instead you're making it possible to forgive us, for our lives to be changed, for us to no longer be slaves to those passions, to those evil desires, but instead we can be turned toward you and receive all of your grace and your love. We can be changed from the inside out by your Holy Spirit that you pour out on us so freely, so fully. Thank you, God. Help us to know ourselves as blessed by you, loved by you, protected by you, so that we don't walk through this world afraid. We walk through this world with a confidence that the people around us can see. Confident not in our own abilities, not some kind of empty optimism that things will just work out, but a confidence in you, God, that you walk with us, that you are blessing us and keeping us, that you're loving us no matter what. Thank you, God. Thank you again that you've shown us this in Jesus. Thank you that we get to celebrate this love in this sacrament of Holy Communion. Together with churches around the world, we offer to you today these simple gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, that we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, you took bread and broke it, gave it to your disciples and said, "This is my body. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, gave it to them and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." So as we come to your table today, Lord Jesus, we come thankful, grateful for the love that you have shown us, that you held nothing back, but out of love for us gave all that you had to give. You gave your life so that by your death and resurrection, you could break the power of sin and death and set us free, canceling those debts, no longer holding our sins against us. Thank you, God. As we prepare to come to your table, we do so with humble hearts, with grateful hearts, knowing that we haven't earned a seat at your table, Lord Jesus, but it's only because you love us, because you are gracious and compassionate. And so we're not afraid. We don't need to hide who we are. We don't need to hide our failures from you. We can instead just confess, admit our need of your grace. We can acknowledge that we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus, you said those are the two most important commandments, and we've broken them both. And God, maybe you're putting your finger on some other things right now in our lives that need to change, some sins that we've held on to or we've allowed to hold on to us, and you want to break those chains today. You want to set us free. Help us to turn from sin and to turn toward you today so that we can see your face shining on us, so that we can receive your grace and your peace at long last. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us today with the Spirit of Christ. Change us from the inside out that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters, adopted by you, loved by you. Oh, you are so good, God. We are so grateful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. Whether this is like your 1,000th time or your first time of coming to receive his grace and his goodness, this is for you. We've got little pieces of pita bread or some round gluten-free wafers if you need those, or there's some little individual cups that if you'd rather take one of those back to your seat and peel it back to get to the bread and juice, or some of you might have grabbed those in the basket on your way in. All these options are fine. We just want you to be able to celebrate the amazing grace that God's shown us in his son, Jesus Christ. So let's do that as we sing.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, once again, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we might leave this place knowing we are loved by you, ready to receive your blessing, your protection, and to know your face shining on us this week. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll try to do the right... Oh, actually, did I put it on the screen so I couldn't mess it up? I mess this thing up a lot. I think we got that little last blessing there at the end. Because I messed this thing up. That's one of the reasons I quit doing it at the end of the services. No? I'll try it anyway. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I think she's going to blow out some candles and we can have some cake.
Yeah, it's not your imagination. I really did change my clothes because I was about having an overheating panic attack.
So, candles and cake.